In our second session today, I am pleased to introduce Tim McLaughlin, who is a missionary to the Far East. He has a presentation for you today. I'm sure you'll be riveted because he's been to many Far Eastern countries and had many experiences, as well as the concepts that he uses in order to communicate the Word of God to all of these people. My pleasure to introduce to you Tim McLaughlin.
Thank you very much, Joe. It's a great privilege to be here and finally see for the first time in my life, after many years of being a Dorito in Thailand and around Asia, of seeing Joe teach in person. So thank you for this great opportunity. I'll get straight into it. I've done a presentation. It's on the PowerPoint here. What I'll do is I'll use every slide just to guide me through the presentation as we go. I've put together just I should introduce the family first. Okay, and we'll have to watch this microphone. If it starts to go funny, Paul Davies is going to have to run up here, I think, because it's not quite fitting my face. How's that, Paul? Okay, it certainly doesn't like me. Okay, on the left-hand side here, I think I can put a line under here somewhere with the pen. Okay, this is my wife. We have my son Ben. He's 16 now. Joella, who is with us today, next to Joe Henra, and myself here in very a casual environment. This is in Thailand where we took the photo, and little Charlie, who is Oi's dog, but usually has to stay with Oi's mum because we travel around, and it's quite difficult to carry a dog around on our travels. So, okay, there's seven concepts I've put together here. Rather than just sort of tell you what we're doing, which could get quite boring, I thought we'd link that into some concepts we have to face in the mission field. The first is deciding where to go, methodology, top down and bottom up, which you'll see means we try to teach at the top level of the teaching structure, as it were. That's the pastor teachers. And then with the prep schools, that's the bottom, and even evangelism, which is trying to get the heathen, as it were, into the church. Technology, I'll talk about some of the ways that we deal with teaching, using technology. Teamwork, very important in the field. And language and culture, current goals and future projects. So this is what we'll be looking through. I think I've got about probably half a minute for each slide, so I'll have to go fairly quick. Normally when I'm teaching in Asia, I would speak very slowly because I'm talking to people whose language is not English. But here I'm going to have to really speed up. You have to try and deal with my accent. It's a New Zealand accent, but I'll try to smooth out the bits. Deciding where to go. Trying to work out what the geographical will of God is something that we all have to deal with. Divine guidance, obviously, is something that we can get from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit. And making decisions based on the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit is telling us through the filling of the Holy Spirit and what's going on around in our environment. Ultimately, we have to make decisions. We don't always get it right, I think. But we end up in all sorts of places. So on the map here, starting off on that would be the west coast of India. I've got all these stars here. This would be Delhi over here, New Delhi. We've been down in Hyderabad. I was working with Max Klein there for a while doing conferences. Just to give you a few examples, here's Hunan in China. I'll give you a slide where we were teaching in a seminary there. And as far east out to Taiwan, that's a fairly recent discovery, as it were, we've been led to. This is China through here, of course. So there's a few places here. This is where we're normally based here in Thailand. North Thailand is Chiang Mai. And we spend a lot of time down in Bohol in the Philippines as well. So we move around quite a lot. As far south as here that we did one trip. What often makes us decide where to go is the government regulations regarding visas. So sometimes we want to stay in a place and we can't. The visas run out. We can't renew that. So obviously that's sort of a door closing temporarily usually. And then God will point us in another direction. There's always somewhere to go. We went to Miri one time because our visas had run out after we'd spent a couple of months in the Philippines. We had to do what's called a visa run. So we ended up in Miri, which is very, very Muslim population. Miri is part of Malaysia. But we were able to speak with Muslims. We were able to go to the churches, give people some information about doctrine as well. So we make the most of those opportunities. One interesting, I've got a couple of examples here. This is a Karen tribe in North Thailand. There's a lot of Karen people there in Burma, even in Laos and down in North Thailand. They're predominantly Christian, actually. And how I met these guys here, most of these are young men working within the church. It'd be a stretch to call them pastor teachers from our definition of pastor teacher. But these guys were very keen to serve the Lord. They would go through maybe a 1 month or 2 month conference occasionally. And then, the Baptist church, who does a lot of sponsorship of the Karen people, would sort of put them into some environment where they would be well over their heads, but they would try to teach to their churches. I came about these guys just one day. I was out with my wife. We were looking for a grapevine to plant at our place in Chiang Mai. And I got talking to a guy while I was there. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm a missionary." And he said, "Oh, that's interesting. I work with a lot of Christians." This guy was what we'd call like a normal Thai person, whereas the Karens, they're an ethnic group in Thailand. And he said, "Well, I work with a lot of Christians, and at the moment they don't have a pastor teacher. So, yeah, maybe you want to get in contact with some of these guys." And we swapped addresses. At that time, I was very busy, and I was just on my way out to China with the family. And it wasn't until about 3 months later I got back, and I found that this guy had been after me again. He said, "When are you coming up? These guys are asking about you." So we went up there, and that started quite a good ministry with the Karen people up there. We do see them from time to time. This is the prep school. They didn't even have a prep school there, so my wife went up there and got some people organized and was teaching some concepts about prep school, gave them examples in the classroom of how you could teach children. Yes, they can learn doctrine. You don't just have to sing songs and play games with them. It's a common misconception in churches that are not doctrinally oriented that really you're just babysitting the kids until they get to a stage where they'll be old enough to understand. Well, you know, if they can understand very basic concepts from 2 or 3 years old, then you can be teaching them about God and love and Jesus Christ. And it has to start from a very early age. These children here are probably around about 4 to 8 or 9 years old. And we see Joella here. She's helping out with keeping the kids organized as well. Another example of how God leads. We had a shipment of, these are the RB-themed Junior Bible Ministries Chinese language books. This is about two-thirds of a shipment of books which was sent out from Houston, originally going towards Hong Kong, and actually made it into Hong Kong, but because the communists have taken over the whole system in Hong Kong to a great extent, the books were not allowed to be released to the pastor that had requested them. So there was all these books sitting in the freight office there or on the dock. I think they might have even still been on the ship, but we had to find a place to go. I was totally out of this equation until somebody called me up and said, "Well, Tim, could we send the books to Thailand, or maybe you know of somewhere where they can go?" And just through the media networks that we have, I'll explain about that in a little while here, we were able to contact a person who was willing to take the books. These here now, Snorri the elf man or whatever we call him with a donut head here, he's looking after these books on the 12th floor of a building in downtown Taipei right now. And this is about two-thirds of the shipment. The other third is in another room in the same building. And through this connection, the person whose office it was, she said, "Well, while you're here," because I had to go over and sort out the books, "while you're here, why don't you teach us a class?" And this got us started with our latest ministry in Taipei. So here I am teaching at Serena's office. She's the woman here, this woman here. She's the director of the Taiwan Arts International Association. And she got that set up. Does a big arts, creative arts thing. They do shows all through China. She showed me some of the work she's done. It's really quite amazing. And she was able to pull a group of like-minded people together, and we started off a Bible class. That began about February of this year. Since then, we've stayed 2 months in Taiwan with the family. I went back there for a three-day conference just before I came out to the United States here. So things are really happening there. And we're at the stage now where we're looking at actually setting up a doctrinally-based arts school, arts academy. Under the new Taiwanese education rules, they have what's called experimental schools, which are basically you can run it like a home school. You can run the school however you like. Just register with the government, and then you have a lot of freedom to teach how you would like to do that, which a lot of Christians now are looking to this kind of thing because the government schools are now teaching transgenderism and homosexuality as a right within the government. So it's actually been forced upon the children now. It's happening in a lot of places, obviously. So this has a lot of potential. So that's how God leads us into places. We don't actually do anything. It's not like we run around saying, oh, well, who wants to learn doctrine? It just happens. Like, for example, with getting the contacts in Taiwan, it was just a message. I sent a few messages off. Messages came back. And then before you know it, we had this contact in Taiwan. So that's sort of how we see God operate in the mission field. Methodology, top down, bottom up, and somewhere in the middle. But we do try to start off with the pastors. This is sort of one of the holy grails, I guess, of being in the mission field is looking to teach the pastors. The other thing which we always seek for is that you'd find a pastor who would really just 100% go for doctrine. We haven't had that yet, but we get pretty close at times. These guys here, a lot of them, this is an Indian, Hyderabad. A lot of them came from Baptist backgrounds and sort of different denominations, Pentecostals, Charismatics. But they do hear there's a foreigner teaching in town. Let's go and check them out. So we did this. Part of the culture there is when you've finished a conference, they'll put this traditional robe over you and then somebody will say nice things and then they'll pat you on the head and pray for you and all that kind of thing. So that's what we're doing there. This was from a two-week conference, I did with Max Klein going back about 5 or 6 years ago. But the people, they take the books away that we can provide for them. We provide them with links to the internet, like Joe Griffin Media Ministries, and tell them they can send them to Baraka Church to TMP. And that they can order books. So really, once we've left, it's in their hands. Occasionally, we do get people contact us asking for more information. Our time is limited. Resources are limited. Here's another opportunity we had in the seminary in Hunan province. Like the churches, the seminaries are run through, they have to be government registered, but you do have churches which are what they call the underground churches. I haven't as yet heard of an underground seminary, but they probably exist. These people here, I'll mention about a guy called Bob Sensabaugh, who's from Houston, and he's lived in China for a long time. He's since been sort of kicked out through complicated issues. But every time him and his wife Liu Lan would go back from Houston to China, they would carry 100 pounds of books from RB Theme Junior Bible Ministries, and they would take them out to the seminary and other seminaries around. So when I went to teach there one time, I showed them the book Rebound, and I said, well, this is the book that I'll be teaching from today, and the kids pick up their books that they had on the counter, and they said, like, oh, and here's the plan of God, we've got this one through. So the doctrine is getting out there. It's amazing, really, and this is it's just through people that are being led by God, by the Holy Spirit, through circumstances. It's definitely getting out there. Okay, here's a prep school in Danshui, Guangdong, where I'm teaching here. It's currently illegal for any person under the age of 18 to go to a church. I understand it was actually illegal even when I was teaching there, but depending on who's in the authority or who has the power in the local government at the time, if they're sympathetic towards Christians, which is something we should always pray about, we need those people in power to turn that blind eye to the government policy, then things can operate. A lot of the times it could just be somebody that's scared of losing their job. Every person in government service in China has to be a member of the Communist Party. We did actually have members of the Communist Party attending our church, and they're the spies. But then we possibly had Communist Party members which really were spying on us. We don't know. They were probably evangelized and then came over to our side. This is a what we could going sort of lower down the level. When I say lower, I mean this, now we're talking bottom up. Joe just mentioned about how you've got to, and he was talking from the communist or the socialist point of viewpoint, how if they can get into the minds of the children as they get older, they take over the country and they'll kick out the older people, and then the satanic propaganda will be even more pervasive in the society. Well, we try to do that with doctrine. So that's what we do with the kids. If you can get it here and you have the prep school here, you have your children and grandchildren, you get them with the gospel and then you train them up. So hopefully they will become the ones in the future which are running the thought or the, what would you call it, the zeitgeist, as it were. We call these FICA camps. It's a fairly new concept. We're doing faith alone and Christ alone in the Philippines. We've only done them in Bohol so far, but there's a lot of potential to go further afield. We just need more people, I guess, to help us to do these things. You know, our time is limited, but we're trying to train up people to join us, and then they can go out and just give the gospel message. Similar to the DVBS, Daily Vacation Bible Schools, you might run around here. A lot of people take their kids off to these VBS camps, but there's usually a lot of time involved, a lot of it's a logistical nightmare to take care of kids for 2 or 3 weeks. If it's a good Bible camp, you'll be having them taught Bible throughout that time, but a lot of the time it just sort of ends up being games and activities for the kids to try to fill in that time during summer camp. So what we do is we just go in there, we say to the pastor, you get some local kids in and we'll teach 2 hours today, 2 hours tomorrow, or 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 afternoons. So we try to work it with 2 local churches within a certain area. And that means we don't have to pay for the kids' lunches, which helps. So once it gets to 12 o'clock, you know, we can say our closing prayer for the day, and now you go home and you can sort out your own lunch. We're not taking care of that. Because a lot of people, they do come along to these camps, I think, because they expect to get the free lunch. We'll give them out a few candies and stuff, but generally it's if you can provide a little bit of stationery. We talked about a guy in Houston who provides pencils for ministries. He actually provides them to us in the Philippines with... It says, salvation is faith alone and Christ alone in English, and you turn the pencil over and it's got it in Filipino as well. So we give those out to the kids and they love that. Just very small gifts. They really appreciate that. And then they come home with the gifts on the first day and the parents say, well, you can go back the next day. You might get something else. And they get a lot more than pencils, believe me. A lot of these kids, they hear the gospel message. They're hearing it properly for the first time because they're from a Catholic society. And Catholics, it's, as you probably know, it's all about works and rituals. It's all about the religion and the Pope and Mother Mary and all of those concepts. So we just give them the gospel, and it doesn't even take 4 hours. But on the first day, we might give them the gospel. Second day, we'll teach them a basic doctrine like rebound or eternal security. And then we'll just send them off on their way, and then they're in the Lord's hands from there. So, this is the sort of the logo we made up. We're trying to make it look fairly professional so that people will keep inviting us back to these camps. And the pastors, they really appreciate what we're doing. The pastors that we work with, most of them are from maybe, we had one crowd called the Fundamental Baptist Group or something. And I was like, what's this mean? He said, oh, we're the Fundamental Baptists, because the real Baptists or the other Baptists, they changed or something. So you have all these different splinter groups, but they're all quite willing to have us along. This is Oi here, and she'll do a lot of the work with the kids in terms of singing. So we have doctrinally oriented songs. This is my son Ben on the keyboard. So he'll play the keyboard and then we introduce the songs there. A team effort, Team FICA, so you can see here with the pen here, so there's my son Ben. This is Jerome, he's one of our translators, my wife Oi, and then this is Misha, this is Jerome's daughter. So when we go around, usually there's just a couple of families, and we go around in a little jeepney type thing to the various churches. Okay, and this is just a small group, a sort of a local group. All of these kids would have come out of Catholic families. It's very rare that you might have a Protestant family in these communities. I think Protestants make up about maybe 10% of the population. Not even that, actually. They have a big Muslim population down south. So if you take the 90% Catholics they say they are, there could be 2 or 3% Muslims down in the south, but they make up a big portion of that southern population, and the rest would be Protestants. This is kids. We'll lead them in a closing prayer, as you can see. Now, I mentioned top down, bottom up. This is where we get something in the middle. These people here have come out of their church, which is a church that I was teaching in. The people recognized that the pastor wasn't teaching good doctrine. They would come into the classes that I was teaching, and the pastor was good with that. He didn't mind, as long as we didn't teach anything against what he was teaching. Well, I could use the excuse that I didn't know what he was teaching. And I would tell the students, if there's any new doctrine or anything that contradicts what your pastor is teaching, just be quiet about it. And, you know, if other people are interested, they'll come into class. We certainly don't want to create any fractious environment there. This is really then, so this is a house church. And we would meet on Saturday afternoons for what we call a tea party. You can't call it a Bible party or a Bible class, even because the communists are reading all your social messaging. So it's, you know, we're having a tea party this afternoon, 2 o'clock at Bob's place. And so they would all come over and we would try to get as many people into the room. It's usually packed. And we'd have people sort of sitting on the floor and all over the place. But, they were keen to learn. So we would do this every week, at least once a week. There's a Christian Businessmen's Fellowship group, which I was teaching in the church. Most of these people are business people. I don't have much of a business background, but I've learned enough from doctrine and from the experiences I have to at least pretend I could be a businessman, get the people in, say a few business principles, and then we just go straight into doctrine. And they were happy with that. So that was fine. Okay, using technology face-to-face versus the long-distance communication. I found out today I really prefer face-to-face over having to listen at home through MP3, but you know, some of us don't have a choice, I guess. What we've done, this is in Taiwan, we started up a new thing fairly recently. We use what's called the Zoom, what do they call it, Zoom software, video conferencing, that's the word I'm looking for. And so I would teach here. Serena sometimes would translate for me, and that would go off to our students in China that organized themselves in groups. So we had individuals which would come in with the software, and to Thailand as well. Sometimes Angie, who is our translator on the mainland, she would translate. So I would be speaking into this little speaker. There's a little speaker, a microphone pickup on the table there. I would say something, a couple of sentences. Angie would translate. That would come back into the room and go out to China and then to Thailand. And that actually gave me time to gather my thoughts. It's actually quite nice working with an interpreter sometimes, because I normally just work off what's happening in here rather than notes. And if I'm working with an interpreter, it does help that it gives me time to stay focused on the message. Otherwise, I can just go off on these weird tangents. And by the end of the class, it was like, we started off in rebound and we finished off with the angelic conflict, but they meet somewhere in the middle there. Okay, let's go this way. These are some of the apps that we're using. They call them apps. That's short for application. Line, there's about 500 million people using this in China, in Japan, Thailand, and Taiwan. Whereas the WeChat one you see here, has about 1 billion users, predominantly Chinese. The Taiwanese will not use the WeChat if they can avoid it, because that means that they're sort of getting into communist territory, because the WeChat comes out of China, where the government has their fingers in everything. They probably have it in all of these other apps as well through the Huawei technology. But we use Signal Messenger as well if I'm communicating with my translators or we have to do something that's a bit more surreptitious. Signal and Proton Mail is what they have. It's called double-end encryption. And what that does is somehow it sends codes out between your computer and the person at the other end, so that even if people can pick up on the signal, like the internet provider, which in China would be the Chinese government, or it could be a private company, but the government does have their fingers in that, they can't see the message. They can see that there's something happening there, but they don't know what's being said. So the gospel message, doctrine, is getting into China through these methods. And we're quite open, you know, we can be open using this double encryption technology, knowing that it's not going to be hacked and that the people at the other end are quite safe. And the other thing we can use is VPN, that's virtual private network. I don't want to get into technical details because I actually don't know the technical details. What I do know is that it means that people in China can actually get access to websites like Google, YouTube, and other websites which would normally be blocked by the government. So that's handy for them. Okay, we do websites as well. There's maxklein.org, so I've been helping Max do his websites since we began, actually. It's over 10 years now, and then we have to try to keep on top of these things. Institute of Bible Doctrine, that's one that I run. If you look on Max's site, for example, you see these little flags here. It's a little bit small, but that would say probably English and Chinese. Can I expand this a bit? There we go. Okay. So there's English, Thai, Korean, Chinese, Nepalese, and Visayan in there. That's interesting. We don't have the Indian translations. We'll get those at some stage. Okay. And then on the other side, we have Thai and Chinese and English. This is how do we get this back? Okay. Something's not working there. Okay. There we go. This one here is only in Chinese. It's an interesting that in mainland China and Taiwan, they generally use Mandarin Chinese. This is the main language that they would speak. It's like if you're in mainland Chinese speaking to Taiwanese, it's the equivalent of someone from the States speaking to someone in Canada. You understand what they're saying. There's a few differences in words, but it's perfect communication. Except in the written language, the communists took the traditional writing of the Chinese characters and they made them simpler, which is good for learning. So I really appreciate that. Except the Taiwanese will say this is a crippled Chinese. Because they took our beautiful letters and then they ripped pieces off. And they don't like that. So, yeah, they sort of look down on the fact that the Chinese are using a simpler version, which is much better for learning, I think. But we have to, on the websites, we will have a what we would call a traditional Chinese, and then there's a simplified version of Chinese. So if you do meet someone from China or China, that means mainland China or Taiwan, you want to give them some books, make sure you know which language or which written language they're using. Is it traditional or simplified? And we do a youth Bible study website here. Another way that we get the doctrine out there is through video lessons and easy English. That's where I was saying to you that I would speak very slowly and very clearly so that those that did know some English, they could follow along. And the idea is that once they know the terminology better, then eventually they can learn with a stateside pastor. Now they can download the MP3s, or they can get the DVDs from TMP, from Baraka Church, for example. It's a big step, though. And having learned languages myself over many years, I know that just because you're speaking to someone and they're nodding their head and they think they understand you, that's really different from learning doctrine on a very advanced level. Fortunately, I've lived in Thailand for 25 years, so when I'm speaking, teaching in Thai, I can do that. That's no problem for me. Chinese, I reckon it'd be another 10 years before I can start teaching deeper doctrines. But fortunately, we have the translators. So I would do a lesson like this, for example. Then Angie or Japheth is another one of our translators in China. Put the subtitles on the bottom. So you see the subtitles down here. This is actually I'm speaking, and then the people are reading that. So as they're reading this and listening to it, they're learning the English as well, getting to know the terminology, which helps them for later on when they do want to listen to somebody that's speaking normal, real English, as it were. We do e-books as well. There's a great website called Smashwords, and they allow you to put stuff on their website, and from there they distribute out. I've got Barnes & Noble, I think this is pronounced Scribd, Kobo is quite a big one as well, and they just distribute out via these online agencies. So if you haven't got into this already for your books, Joe, then you might want to consider this. We do it free of charge. And these publishers, they do it free of charge. And you can look through the figures, and we've had quite a good distribution, especially with the Chinese books. And I don't know if that's within China itself, but there's a lot of Chinese all over the world, of course. So these are the books we do by Max. And there's some of the children's books that we do. These are sort of handbooks that we have for the kids. Even a book by Rick Hughes there as well. So this is something that we've found is of great benefit to us as well. Getting into teamwork here, you know, everything is about teamwork. We're just sort of one, maybe the face of the ministry out there, but we can't do it without the other people out there as well. We know we've got a lot of people praying for us. We give thanks that you've got us on your prayer list. And then we have support from sponsors stateside as well. The people in the field, if we didn't meet those people, then yeah, we can't do anything. The first contact I had with Bible Doctrine was Max Klein, missionary couple was here. This is my wife, Oi, again. This was taken a few years ago, and with his wife, Eileen. At some stage, I think in the next couple of months, Max could be coming out here. So Joe has said he's very open to that, and I'm sure you'd enjoy listening to Max hear what he has to say as well. This is Pastor Tong. He's a Thai pastor that we worked with, or we still do. He's been with us many years. He came to us through the website and just got in touch. He was trying to search for some doctrinal words. He said when he finally found the website, he said, this is a real breath of fresh air, because I was searching around all the other Christian websites and it talks about their church activities, how to get to the church, what they did last Sunday, when the next church picnic is. So I finally found a website which is actually about doctrine or about teaching the Word of God. So he was really pleased with that. And then he got studying with us, and then after a while we were doing conferences with him as well. So he's been a real blessing for us. This is some of the team in China. I mentioned Bob Sensabaugh and his wife Liu Lan. She's from Henan province, where we went to the seminary there. And my wife Oi and myself, this is, we call Wang Di Chong, which means Brother Wang. He's been very helpful to us while we're out there. This is Angie, one of our translators there, and a couple of kids from the family there. So I do say the team, Ben and Bam, are definitely part of the team as they're growing up. On the Operation Grace website, we have ourselves listed as Tim and Oi McLaughlin. I've sort of made up my mind now when I go and see the board of Operation Grace, I need to tell them we need to change that to the McLaughlin family, because the kids, as they're growing up, they're becoming quite crucial to what we're doing there. So, Pastor Jerry, these are people in the Philippines we work with. Pastor Jerry here. This is Pastor Amado, and he's not quite a qualified pastor yet, but this is Jerome, and this is Pastor Jerry's wife here. Pastor Jerry helps us organize conferences. When we do these conferences, we're closely tied with another organization from Baraka Church. That's the Grace Logos Support Philippines. So we work quite closely with them. They provide a lot of support for these pastors as well. And we did, this is probably going back a couple of years ago, we did a pastors conference on the island of Negros, and we had a lot of pastors come in for that one there. So that was very, I say, successful in terms of numbers, and as well as people that showed interest and kept learning the doctrine afterwards. Prep school teachers in Hyderabad, India, a very smiley bunch and very colourful. I love the saris and things that they wear in India. India is a very colourful place, very wild, crazy, a lot of heathenism, but there's a lot of bright colours to make up for it as well. So. Jack and Linda in the Philippines, they're a couple, he's from Texas and Linda is his Filipino wife. They run a ministry there with children, just looking after children and organizing DVBS camps there and running kids through school. If I have some more time when I get to the end of this, I'll talk a little bit more about them, because they've been very inspirational to us, and they may be to some of you here as well. These are some of the kids that they've put through the system. And these kids would stay at their home where they provide support for them, kids that have showed positive volition to doctrine. Some of these were my students as well while I was teaching at Grace Doctrine School in Philippines. So there's actually a school called Grace Doctrine School, which is attached to Grace Doctrine Church in the Philippines. So these kids are great, and you see them grow up and the things that they can do with their lives when they do have doctrine in their souls. This is Reno. He was one of my students way back, going back to about 2012, I think, when I was teaching at the school. And just this year, when we were in the Philippines, we were doing this FICA camp, and Reno joined us as a translator, and even as teach, sometimes he would give some words of encouragement. He definitely, it looks like he's got the gift of pastor teacher, so we're going to try to nurture him as much as we can to bring him up to be the next generation of pastors there. Language and culture. I'll go through the language first and just some of the difficulties we face and how we overcome that. Culture is not going to be from the religious point of view. I'm talking more about the superficial point of view when I talk about culture. If I went into the religious side of the culture, that's a huge beast, especially when you're talking about Asian religions. And just I don't want to go down that path today, because we'll be here until next Christmas probably. Okay, so overcoming the language barrier, we have the options here. The ideal group you can teach, as I'm teaching here, proficient in English language. This is the way I like it. Or in Thai, for example, when I'm speaking to groups of Thai, I can speak fluent Thai, so that's not a problem. You have to be when I say proficient, this is for the minister, the missionary, if he really wants to have a good effect. So you need to be proficient in speaking and listening. That's the ear gate. Reading and writing as well, because you've got your notes and you need to distribute those, and comfortable with idiomatic expressions. The reason I'm telling you this is because some of you might have children or grandchildren that are coming to prep school. And they might say to you, or you could encourage them, say, hey, we had a missionary speak here. It sounds like a lot of fun. I don't know if it sounds like fun to you, but it can be fun. It can be exciting. And provide an option for the next generation of children. Often they might have firemen come to the school, or they have astronauts, or I don't know, transgender doctors. What do you call those? Sex operation surgeons. They come to the school and tell the children, hey, this could be you in the next 20 years. You want this profession. Well, kids could also be encouraged to be missionaries as well. And if they start at a young age and get in some idea of where they want to go, then they can start learning the language. Because if your child decides, well, yeah, I could be a missionary and I like Japan, for example. Well, encourage him to learn Japanese. Even if he doesn't get to Japan in the future, at least he's got the basic skills of learning a language, and that can provide the basis by which he can learn that language, his target language, even faster. It's very difficult for older people to learn a language. So again, if you can get started at a young age, get the kids enthusiastic about that, it makes a big difference when they get into the field. So the person either has to be totally proficient in language, or you have an audience that knows English well. We don't really get that. The Philippines and India, they have quite a high level of proficiency in English, but in a class you might have some people which were college educated. English is actually one of the national languages, the official language in both the Philippines and in India. So they do have it in the school system. But if people sort of dropped out of the school system early, that means that you could have people in a classroom where some are very proficient, they understand what you're talking about, but you have other people that don't. So then you have to bring the interpreter in. This is the interpreter who has to be proficient in English and the target language. And you need to make sure this person knows doctrine. And we sometimes have to trust the interpreter. I hope this guy is not going to go off. If I'm teaching Rebound, and I say that you can name your sins and God forgives all of your sins, and the interpreter might not agree with that. He says, you name it. He could be speaking his language. You know, you name your sins, and God will forgive you the sins that he thinks he should forgive. Or something like that. They can change things. And I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, the interpreter didn't say that right. Other people in the audience that knew what was going on. And so when we find, if I can understand the interpreter did that, it was just an accident, he just didn't quite understand, that's fine. But if I can find out that he's twisting what we say, he's out of there. And then we just have to find someone else. Or you get a combination of all of the above here. So these are our translators we have in China. This is Angie. We saw a photo of her earlier, and Japheth. Very good in English. Angie learned her English. She was, I guess I could say this, she had health problems when she was younger, and a lot of her time was spent out of school. And she would stay at home watching American movies. And when you speak to her, she's got a slight Chinese accent, but she is probably the most proficient person I've ever met in English, and she never went to university. You get all these people, they go to university and they speak Chinese like this, and grammar, bad, very bad grammar sort of thing. And they've got these great degrees in English, but they can't use the language. Whereas as Angie is, she was a real gold mine when you found her. And Japheth is very good as well. They both help out with written translations and the interpreting as well when I'm teaching. I put Ben in here as well because he happened to be in the photo, but I hope later on his Thai and Chinese is very good. So maybe he would not just be an interpreter, but possibly a teacher. He's still not really sure for himself yet. This is Jerome. We had a picture of him earlier. He's up on stage and doing his thing. I'm saying something to the kids, and he's expressing that Filipino children, that until they get to about high school, their level of English is not that good. So we do use an interpreter there. Culture, again, this is talking about food this time, because in China, food is very big. I notice it's very big here as well, actually. But in China, every time you go somewhere, and there's always some big banquet going on. And they like to honor the missionaries as well. We're never short of food. I could walk into China, like Jesus sent out his disciples with no money. I'd be confident walking around China, where people just say, well, come and have dinner, have lunch, have whatever. And it'd be a nice big feast as well. So these are just some pictures. Food at the church, food at a meeting here. This woman here, her name is Linda. She's actually based in the States, but she's a Chinese woman who has a great ministry composing and singing music, hymns. And she lets me, she does the English version of them when she translates them on the CD sleeves, for example, and she gets me to check over that the English is okay. And occasionally I can point out, generally the doctrine's not too bad, but occasionally I'll point out to her and I'll say, well, actually, this is not doctrinal, and I'll point out the verses, and then she'll say, oh, thanks for pointing that out to me. And she'll make the changes. So that's another part of the ministry which I came across, which I never expected. And she's a great woman, so it's really lovely to work with her. More food. She's smiling because she likes food a lot, and more food. So you get the idea. Another part of the culture, missionary groupies. You probably never expected this because I certainly didn't. You get people come up to you and, hey, take a photo, get a selfie with me or something like that. So this is one aspect as well, which is quite surprising at times. I probably have a whole lot of these photos. If I show too many, Oi might not appreciate that. Though I think she might have actually taken these photos, so maybe that's not too bad. Transport as well. I've just given you an idea of how we get around in India. It's absolute chaos. You sometimes you get out on the highway there and someone cuts in front of you and you think, oh man, and you get out of fellowship. Well, if you're in India, it's just non-stop. You'd be going to hell, I guess, because it's bad. The traffic, you could have a brand new car, 6 months old, and it's not a straight panel on it. All of the cars, that they're just dents and bangs and dings, and they never go to the panel beaters, so it's quite an interesting thing. The trains in India, they used to run on time, I think, when the English colonials were out there, and once they kicked out the English with Gandhi and all that thing, things got really bad, and this is the result of it sort of 50 years on. So these guys are going to work. There's probably more people down the rest of the train. This is how the trains operate in India. So if you're going to India, you just need to be warned about this. Goals, current and future. Okay, so I'll just give you a few ideas of what we're doing. Establishing the Grace Academy of Arts. I mentioned Serena was a woman who we met in Taipei. So this is something we're quite excited about. It seems to be happening now. Improving the quality of video conferencing is something we have to work on. Continuing output of videos, books, etc. The development of the FICA evangelical camps, which really we're just hoping that there'll be more people interested that are doctrinally oriented and willing to work with children. It's a concept that could actually work perfectly well here as well. So if you're interested in children's ministry and doing some kind of evangelical outreaches, we could talk about that if you're interested. And the Crystal Brook Seminary is something I started when the Karen people said, we want a proper seminary, we want to go to a seminary. So what I did from that point on was I started building this place. It's very cheap to build stuff in Thailand. Just to give you an example, when we started building our house, we were able to secure a piece of land. And I did up the designs. I'm not an architect, but I did up the designs. I took them to a company that puts in the... they sort of do support work, framework. They did up proper designs. I took them to the local government office. This was at the end of the year. They had about 3 days to the end of the year. I gave them $5. January the 2nd, I had this document in place that you can build your house. Yeah, and you talk about the building regulations and things that happen here. Well, yeah, this gives you an example of how free these countries can be, actually. Free from bureaucracy like that. Yeah, they have bureaucracy in some areas, and other areas it's great. So construction is very cheap. So we've put up this thing here. It's a work in progress, but eventually we're hoping to use this as a seminary. One potential that we have is if the communist government really does expand their grip on religion and on the churches in China, then we'll have to bring people down to Chiang Mai. Xi Jinping, the current president, he does have his eyes on taking over Taiwan as well. So there's a possibility we might need to get people out of Taiwan at some stage. That's something else you want to keep in your prayers. These people are quite aware of what Xi Jinping is thinking. They certainly don't have the military means to deal with it. So that's something else that we need to think about. It's nice to be able to go to Taiwan and teach freely, which we can't do in China. So Taiwan is like a little bastion of freedom in that area of the world. And it's a real privilege to be able to go there. So the goal of the ministry, this is what we had on the website of Operation Grace website for now for about 12 years, and it really hasn't changed, which I'm quite proud of, because when we first set up the goals, we knew what we had to do, and really this is what we've been doing here. So you can read those for yourself. One of the most important things, and another holy grail that we're looking towards, is to have an indigenous pastor setting up a church, a proper church with all the deacons, and having the congregation which are positive to doctrine. So that would be really like a permanent footprint in an area where the local pastor is teaching in the local language, and that provides the basis, I would think, for the next generations to go in there. And, okay, there's a challenge to you. Is this for you? Some people might say, well, I'm too old now and I'm settled down here. Missionary work, it is very rewarding. You do get settled down in your place, but I gave you the example of Jack Head here. He's married to a Filipino, so it makes it easier for him to get out there, though often we do meet married couples from the States and other countries that are out in the field, and they just turned up and they said, well, you know, we had a contact or something, it's something you need to pray about perhaps if you really feel you want to do this. And I'll quote from an email that Linda gave me. I asked her, can you provide something that I can give for this presentation here? So she said, what we are doing, nothing was planned, in our spiritual dynamic series, which Max recommended, that's Max Klein, it was clearly explained by Pastor Thiem that as we advance on our spiritual life, the Holy Spirit, without efforts in our parts, will make our spiritual gifts clear. God had also promised to be faithful to his faithful disciples. He will bless us exceedingly and abundantly. They were applying the faith rest drill, and that's what we have to do as missionaries. Here's the history here. We came back here in 2004 and they just began those Bible doctrine classes that they began studying the doctrine. And then in 2011, as you see, they started the summer vacation classes, and that's every year now. They have a lot of kids come into their place. And actually, it's interesting with Jack Head. He was getting old. He's well over 80. Can you remember how old he said he was? I mean, he's older than even Joe, I think. So, sorry, Joe. Okay, so he's getting really old. He thought his time in the Philippines was up, so they put the house on the market, and then they came back to Houston. And I think he went down South Houston and possibly even to Florida where his children were. They were there for about 2 weeks. And then they had to ring back, and they said to their land agent, I hope you didn't sell the house yet, we're coming back. And they flew back to the Philippines, and he said, I'm going to spend out the rest of my time in the Philippines, because he couldn't deal with being in the States, I think, after all that time in the Philippines, and they're still continuing on their ministry now. So that's another option. There's plenty of options. You don't have to be a pastor, teacher. You don't have to be an evangelist. The Lord will use you with what gifts and what talents that you have. You've got the doctrine, obviously, and it's just a matter of being led. So, but you can be a missionary in your neighborhood. That's the other thing, of course. You know, if you're here and you're happy about that, there's a lot of people that need the gospel message. So that's just a little challenge to you. If you do want to see a bit more about what we're doing, we've got the website here, and there's links to other websites that we have. So you might meet someone from one of these places, and if you want to provide them some information, you can direct them to the website. Again, there's the Chinese, Thai, Filipino, Nepalese languages, etc. Or you can contact me at sawakproductions@yahoo.com. Okay, I have about 5 minutes to go. I don't know what time you want to get away. I did mention to Joe yesterday, if we finished up with a bit of time, I'd be open to take questions. So if anybody has questions, don't be shy. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right, Operation Grace. Pretty much 90-95% of our monthly, it's like a statement, a donation comes through them. Occasionally we get people in the field that do provide for us as well. It's not very common, but it does happen. And like you saw in China, they provide us with lots of food. And generally when we're in a place, accommodation is sometimes not always provided. But that's happened. We've been provided by or through Operation Grace from the membership support and from different churches. Very faithfully, actually. It's an interesting question when it comes to finances, because this is something that the Colonel emphasized. I heard this from Max. He said, when the money comes out to the missionary, that's his to deal with. And one thing I feel really grateful for from Operation Grace and from our members that support us, nobody has ever said, hey, you need to go here, or you should go here, or you should come to the States and do a presentation. You know, people were saying, well, it's about time. We've got friends down in Houston we want to see as well. And it's great to come out here. But nobody's ever said, hey, you have to do this, or you have to stop doing something. So we have total freedom. It's been a great privilege, actually. Yeah, sir. I would have to say never. there's been times when, we hear about this happening a lot, especially with pastor teachers that are working in those environments. And we had a pastor teacher associated with our church in Mindanao, that's the southern part of the Philippines, and he was shot and killed. We've heard about this happening in North India. There was a pastor, he wasn't associated with our church, but there was one time while we were there, we were told about this, and that was from Hindu extremists. So it's not just the Muslims as well, it can be the Hindus. Occasionally I'll meet Muslims, and if they're by themselves, it can be a great experience, and you just get talking to them about their religion. Abraham was the father of their faith. When you study the Quran, and you do need sort of a background into what their beliefs are to open up a good dialogue with them. For example, in the Quran it says that Ishmael is the son of the covenant through Abraham. And you can say, well, actually Moses recorded about 2,000 years before the Quran was written that covenant actually went to Isaac, the firstborn son. And you can start up a dialogue like that. But it really does help to know what you're talking about. If you mention about Jesus Christ, that in their eyes, he's a prophet. So there's ways you can deal with it. But again, you sort of need to get them one-on-one, and then you can start up a dialogue. And most Muslims are actually quite happy to teach because possibly they think that we can convert this Christian over to our side. And so you let them say their spiel, and then you can sort of attack their theology in a very subtle and gentle way, if you can do that. So, but yeah, we deal with Muslims occasionally. So, but never felt threatened. Yeah. Any other questions? At the back? It seems to be that way. If you look back in Chinese history, there has been a history of missionaries coming out. We had the Nestorians, for example, and there's been sort of phases. Hudson Taylor was another guy that sort of made out there and established the China Inland Missions. What has happened, though, is there's been a lot of evangelical activity, but without the doctrine. So you notice when the churches get under a little bit of pressure, it sort of collapses. And the Communist Party is really, I look at it as another dynasty, which will pass. Even under the Chinese government, they understand that they're in a fairly precarious situation because there could be up to between 80 and 100 million Christians in China now. It's very difficult to get those statistics, but if you sort of try to put the different sites together, even the Chinese government, they admit that they know they have on their records at least 25 million. That's just based on the number of recorded baptisms which are registered with the government. So that's quite a small number. And as far as I know, in the Communist Party, there's not even 100 million people in the Communist Party. So they have to be a bit careful about how much oppression they do put on the churches. When you do hear about a church being destroyed, for example, they go out and destroy church buildings, or you hear about a pastor teacher who's been put into captivity, taken away by the government, it's usually because he's been very vocal or too outspoken about the Chinese government. But if people sort of, if they play the line, if they avoid making any political statements, then usually it's okay. That's what I found, actually. Constitutionally, the Constitution does say religious freedom exists. Again, it sort of depends on, it could be the local governor. Is he sympathetic towards our cause or not? And some of them can actually be Christians as well. Yeah. Joe, you had a question?
Yes,
sort of, yes. Okay. Because we homeschool the children, it's part of the homeschool requirements that when we move around that the children need to come with us. And also I like to be in close proximity with the kids because we're a family. If I'm going out for a small conference, 2 or 3 days somewhere, I'll just go out by myself, usually leaving them in Thailand. Sometimes we might be longer term in China, for example. One time I had to leave China. I did a visa run at the same time and went to the Philippines, but that was only for a few days. So generally, if we're going to be somewhere in a place for 2 or 3 months, I'll take the family, we'll organize accommodation, often it's organized for us on our behalf. But if it's a short conference, then I'll just go out by myself. Yeah. Okay, no other questions? Well, thank you very much for your time, for your prayers, for your support. If anybody, again, if you want to be a missionary, you can talk to me. Max will be along in a couple of months. Maybe he might be able to inspire you. I'm not saying it's something you should do. You don't want to get into a place where the Lord doesn't want you to be, of course. I've seen missionaries like that. They've been praying to the Lord about where do we go, and for some reason they walk past a Pakistani restaurant and they think, oh, there's a sign from God. We have to go to Pakistan. I kid you not, that's actually happened at one stage. I did hear about that. So, yeah, you really want to make sure that it is the Lord's will. But if it is, things will work out. So, thank you very much. Okay.
I wanted simply to get across to you, if you want to contribute to Tim's ministry, it's Operation Grace in his name. That's down in Houston, and I'll get you that address. We appreciate your coming here along with your daughter. We enjoyed meeting her and being with her. She's really quite a character, so I wish you could get to know her. I thought we would dismiss today in prayer, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tim McLaughlin and his ministry in various areas of the Far East. And what we've learned here today is there are those in far-off places who are very positive to your word and gather together to hear its teachings. We thank you for men like Tim who are carrying your word to these places. May this type of enthusiasm for your word reemerge in Client Nation America. We thank you for the freedom we have to study your word, to inculcate it, retain it, and then apply it in our personal lives. So we thank you for that option that we have. And we thank you for what we've had here today from Tim's message. We pray you would encapsulate him in his ministry. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. You are dismissed.